Huge thanks to Stevie there, and welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all the latest sporting matters inside the Rebel County as well as further afield. But we're heading further afield. Firstly, where Donegal have put themselves into the All-Ireland Senior Football Semi-Finals. Jonathan Higgins watched their win against Monaghan in Croke Park.
In the first of today's All-Ireland quarterfinals, where Donegal have defeated Monaghan by 126 to 120. A remarkable second half performance from Donegal, who trailed by 7 points at the interval. A rocket of a goal from Michael Langan in the 44th minute was the key score for Donegal, as Monaghan only managed 5 points in the second half. A 53rd minute, Michael Murphy free, gave Donegal the lead for the first time since the 13th minute, was part of 11 consecutive Donegal scores. Tired or not, Jimmy McGuinness's side have buckled loads of character and proceed to the semi-finals. Full-time score, Donegal 126, Monaghan 120.
And sticking with Croker, we had this moment last Saturday, which means the Rebel Hurlers will now face the Fae Capital this upcoming Saturday at 5 for the ultimate custody of Real Capital status.
The ball is still in play and the match continues. What a catch that was from Connolly Reid.
That's it.
The referee has blown it up, and Dublin have beaten Limerick in the All-Ireland quarter-final. One of the stories of the year. Dublin have beaten Limerick by 224 to 28 points in a thriller at Croke Park.
No doubt everybody here or watching on telly was thinking get to 50, 60 minutes and that this thing would level out, and you see Limerick, that they would clip on their 5, 6, 7 points, whatever it was. I've no doubt that was expectation, but what's inside in that dressing room is really, really special. And there's lads there that this whole thing means a hell of a lot to them, and we did not falter.
Yeah, that was Dublin boss Niall O'Callaghan there speaking to RT Sports after their side's victory over Limerick last week, of which I was already saying the Rebel Hurlers will now face this coming Saturday. So hopefully you manage to get your hands on some sweet, sweet tickets, hopefully. And I'm sure there will be a huge Rebel contingent going up to Croke Park. And from the streets outside Croker's to the fields of Parky Cave, Darragh Murphy joins us in studio.
Right. Down by Parky Cave, where the Rebels play their hurling. Liam, he got taken away from Christy Ring and Jimmy Barry. Now to Kingston, Downey and Hoggy. The Rebels want him back home once again. All around the fields of Porky Queeve, where once was home to Liam McCarthy. Haven't seen him since 2005, but the Rebels will find him alive. Cork will bring him back home to the league.
Well, it is that time of year again. Cork getting back into the thick of things for All-Ireland's potential All-Ireland glory, I should say. Hopefully I won't jinx it this time around like we probably did last year.
Not this time,
Darragh Murphy, how are we? Last time you were in here, we were all full of excitement and hope.
We were buzzing.
Before the Clare final last year, yeah. I think we already thought the cup was back, to be honest. But look, didn't go to plan. But this year, what do you think?
I mean, last year we probably got a bit ahead of ourselves, unfortunately. Like, we were having the crack. You know, we hadn't been in a semi-final in a few years, you know, on the year before that. I think 2021 was the last final we were in. So we were obviously buzzing, you know. Let us have our fun. This year, it feels different, I think. What do you think, kind of like?
Well, I hope you're right. I mean, I will say, though, from our point of view, if we thought we were losing the run of ourselves in the hype train last year, I've had about, like, 4 musicians in now playing music about the Cork Hurling team this year, and there was only one last year. But so I think the hype train is well and truly taken off in terms of Cork Hurling musicians, I guess, around the scene at the moment. Look, you have a few songs for us today. We just played out the new one. How did that one come to be?
How did it come to be? I kind of thought, right, we can't keep hashing the same tunes over and over again. I better get a new one. So I kind of started singing a lot of Irish songs, thinking which ones we can kind of just make about Cork. You know, the real capital, obviously. I kind of came across that one, said, you know, All Around the Fields of Páirc Uí, kind of a good ring to it, and then kind of work from there, I suppose, and that's how that one came to be.
Very good, very good. Hopefully we can hear it up in Hill 16 or something like that.
Oh, I would love that.
I know the dub's up in Croker next week. You have a few more in the back catalogue. We'll get you to play them in a bit. But how has life as a musician been for you with your social media then as well?
Do you know what? First thing, I'm happy. I'm enjoying it. It kind of went on the back burner a bit now through college and stuff, you know, trying to finish out the college degree and get that get the piece of paper, I suppose. But, you know, I've been enjoying it. I kind of post on TikTok, you know, every few days on TikTok. I go live all the time now. Also trying to balance it with my kind of football account and stuff and just sporting stuff. So I kind of have merged the two now, you know, between hurling and soccer and music and just everything and kind of just being, I don't know, just kind of being online and I'm enjoying it, I must say.
I suppose you particularly, do you try gain an audience in Cork? Is that something that's important?
I've realised my two accounts are like so different. Like the music account is so heavily Cork based, like the niche. Because I posted like that same Hoggy song on my other account and it's like all kind of UK based. Whereas I post there, like I think I posted the other night, I posted the one about Kingston on the Wing or something, and I got like 30-40k there overnight, like easily enough, like on the Derf music account, which was crazy because I think it's so nichely Cork and like Irish. So like I'll be posting there more often with music.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. What other ones do we have in the backlog, if you can remind me?
The backlog, so we obviously have the Hoggy song, everyone loves that one. We have the Shut Up and Dance, I don't even know what that's called, that one.
That was brilliant. Inspired by your dad, wasn't it?
Yeah, my dad wrote that one, to be fair, so, you know, shout out to him again. And what was the other one? The Kingston on the Wing one, and then obviously, you know, whatever else, the new one.
Well, look, it's always good, obviously, to hear from John McCarthy and our more serious and senior journalists and ex-funders and things like that, but it's also good to chat to a fan, to be honest, and good to get the you know, the humble opinion of the humble Cork fan. But look, Limerick are gone. What did you think of that one when you saw that last week?
I was shocked, actually. I was unable to watch the match. I was actually working at the time, but I kind of saw, I was keeping an eye on the result, and the fact that Dublin were down to 14 men, I went, okay, well, Limerick are, they'll be through here, we'll meet them again in the semi-final and we'll love it. And to see they lost, I was actually kind of shocked. Going back to kind of comparing to last year, we kind of got ahead of ourselves. Last year we scraped through the championship, you know, lost our opening two games, didn't win anything in the league. So we kind of, I suppose we were a bit ahead of ourselves, where this season I think it feels much different. You know, we won the league, we won the Munster Championship, beating Limerick in the final as well, in the Munster final. And it kind of feels a bit different that we can actually do this, where this is an unstoppable Cork team. And as my dad said, Cork have never been beaten by Kilkenny when Cork were ready.
Well, look, there's two trophies won. I mean, there's only the one left. Again, I feel like I can feel the excitement in my voice even thinking about and dreaming about the final. We're not even in it. We do have to get through a decent Dublin team first. Out of all the songs kind of going around at the moment, I'm sure as an Irish artist, especially maybe Cork in particular, I think Killa is probably the one you're playing.
Oh my God. Though, is it? Every 2 minutes of my life, play Killa, like every 2 minutes. So Loki hates the song now, but it is a great tune. It's a great song.
It's just a pity it kind of sounds like a Limerick song in a way, with the green and white I adore. And
I could sing it and just change the red and white there if you want, like, you know, be handy enough.
People kill out would be up in arms, I'd say.
Kingfisher, like.
To be fair to them. Look, you're going to play us a few tunes here now. We're going to go into the back catalogue far and wide. So what, when are you going to play for us here now?
Should we start with the Hoggy one?
Let's start with the Hoggy one.
Everyone loves that. We'll start with Hoggy.
A fan favourite.
Another hurl is broken, Cork are taken over, and we're heading up to Croker, standing shoulder to shoulder. And I swear you will see sea of red, Hill 16 in your head, in your head. They're still fighting, and I know it won't be the same as 2013. In your head, it's still hurting. He's in your head, in your head. Hage, 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 eh, eh. He's in your head, in your head. Hage, 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 eh, eh. Oh, 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 ah, 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 hey, ah, ah.
So from the Glen Black Rock, Barstairs and Fire and Ray, into the legends ring, Pat Ryan and Glen Soggy, this is our moment now, this is our destiny. I said, ooh, ooh, bring Liam back to the league. When you score, you make the rebels sing. Kingston on the wing, Kingston, Kingston on the wing. Every time he's on the ball, we know there's gonna be a score. Our super sub from Rochestown, la da 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 da.
Brilliant stuff. And the one you're getting plagued with, but look, I have to plague you with it now, is of course East Cork's Killer.
Here we go.
From the woods of Glenbower to the river Desor, from the arms of my mother to the land ever pure, all I have to remember is the pride that I felt. From the park in Canada, where the boys never knelt, they go raring and tearing and fighting for love, for the land they call Killa, and the Lord up above. Killa la 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 la, for the green and the white I adore, for the parish to last evermore. 95 came promotion high up on the wing, and the one up to senior, what a beautiful thing. In the darkest of hours, in the depths of despair, left the Killer boys roar for to rattle the air. They go raring and tearing and fighting for love, for the land they called Killer, and the Lord up above. Killer la 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 la, for the green and the white I adore, for the parish to last evermore. Kill la 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 la, kill la 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 la, kill la 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 la, for the green and the white I adore, for the parish to last evermore. When my time's at an ending and my days are no more, bury me with my Hurley by the river Desor.
Go on, up the rabbit, up the rebels.
Up the rebels.
Up the rebels is right.
Yeah, before that one there, huge thanks to Darren Murphy for coming in and playing a few of his tunes. Hopefully we'll hear him again if Cork manage to get past Dublin this weekend, of course, and hopefully get themselves into an All-Ireland final against either Tipperary or Kilkenny. Now to a man who knows plenty about hurling, that is Antrim's Davy Fitzgerald, the hurling manager there. He spoke to Oisín Langan at the launch of the Cirsett All-Ireland GAA Golf Challenge in Kilkenny. So huge thanks to KCLR and the Hurling Pod for this one.
Well, I'm here at the launch of the Cirsett All-Ireland Golf Challenge with Davy Fitzgerald. Davy, how are you?
Yeah, good, good. I'm delighted to be here today. It's when you see a cause like this, it puts everything into perspective, where you're helping people that need a bit of help. So fair play to the lads, they've done a great job, you know.
Talk to me about the All-Ireland Golf Challenge and, more importantly, I suppose, the money that it raises and for who.
Listen, today you look at Ian O'Connell, Ian is going to benefit with the help of transport today, which is badly needed for him. He's been in a wheelchair now for a number of years. Is his mind and brain unreal? Unbelievable. His passion for life is unreal. And to be able to help him with something like this is fantastic. And it's things like this that puts other things into perspective and makes you realise, you know, be it hurling, be it anything, like, that's a game, and we're lucky to be able to do that. But to be able to help someone like this, and, like, I'm only a very small part of this, but to Liam and all the lads, like, they've done a great job over a number of years, and they pick various causes at different times that they help, and I think that's different. People need different help at times, and this is a small way of doing that.
And Ian is actually a fantastic radio presenter for Radio Kerry. Yeah. has a good podcast as well. Oh, yeah. So it's worth checking out. What about yourself? Look, obviously you'd like to be involved, but like most of the population now, including ourselves, you're a spectator for the All-Ireland semi-finals. How are you feeling, first of all, about Antrim's year, before we talk about the semi-finals coming up?
I suppose Antrim's year has been pretty similar to what the last number of years have been like. A few good displays, a few beatings. The one thing I've learned is these boys are actually well at the hurl. I'm so delighted to be in part of that group. And yeah, people will look at it and say you got relegated. Listen, they were relegated 2 or 3 years ago, very close in the last year or two. But I know there's aspects of their play that I've seen this year that has been very good. Very good. It's to be more consistent. I look at their club setup. Their club setup is brilliant up there. The clubs are brilliant. Players are very genuine. There's a few small things, like we started training on December the 7th. That gives you 5 months till the championship is over. You're not going to change the world in 5 months. As much as people like to think, that's not going to happen. But did we make strides in different areas? Probably the players are best equipped to answer that, but I'd like to think we did. But it'll take a bit of time. Have they the ammunition to get competitive with the top six or seven? 100% they have. 100%. And I think that's the thing in the GA is, from the teams from 8 to 16, we've got to try and make them as competitive as possible. And some teams will say, some people will say, yeah, you took a few beatings. Yeah, I could promise you they could be a lot closer, and I prefer to be playing them teams and trying to get better against them the whole time. But I believe, whether it is me or whoever else is there, this outlook up there, they can get to that take 6 or 7. I seriously believe that.
How do you think we could make those? We'll say the Joe McDonough teams better, because you look at Carlow, drew with Kilkenny last year, unlucky to be relegated. Yourselves, I saw you against Kilkenny for a lot of that game. You played savage well. How do you improve those teams? How do you kind of bring them up a bit?
But you even look at Offaly, right? Offaly this year are definitely better than they have been. And that comes from getting up a league higher, playing teams, getting beatings as they did do. Are they progressing? They are progressing and they are coming. We're not 100 miles away from them. The thing is not to segregate them. We've got to keep them playing good teams, number one. I was talking to one or two guys in the Hurling Development Committee, and there is one or two ideas out there, and I think you need to be explored. And I even it might help another team in Munster even as well with ideas they have. Just trust me. We keep our Munster in our Leinster Championships. The structure might be a small bit different, all right? I think it's worth exploring an idea too that they have. So it is. And it would mean you're definitely going to end up with your best eight teams at the end. It'll mean that there is chances for teams to make it into the big teams. They will be exposed to big things. And then there is an idea there, I just hope, comes forward. Yeah. That's all I'm saying to you.
Okay, well, we'll wait to see it and hear it, and hopefully it'll work out for everyone. What about the All-Ireland semi-finals? Let's start, because we're having this conversation in Kilkenny, let's start with Kilkenny, taking on Tipperary. How do you see that one going?
If you're looking at it right now, probably the normal punter would say Kilkenny, maybe just about. This is a very hard one to call. Tipperary definitely set out their stall earlier in the year. Was Liam Cahill under a bit of pressure? He was, like, it. That's obvious. I'm kind of delighted he's rose to the pressure. He's made calls. He's trained them exceptionally hard. They're very fit. They're working extremely hard. You can see their work rate in the field is phenomenal. Their use of the ball is pretty good. They're able to use it short and long when they have to, which is pretty good. I think that one's going to be a really, really tight one. If you ask me right now, maybe Kilkenny by a pint or two, but would it surprise me if Tip won? No, that one 100% wide open. This championship, Oisín, is different. This semi-final, if you ask me to pick a clear winner, I couldn't pick a clear winner. If you ask me to make a favourite, Cork by a fraction, maybe. Have Kilkenny a chance, have Tip a chance, have Dublin a chance. It wouldn't surprise me who could win it. That's what excites me as a neutral. That's why I can't wait to look at the semi-finals. Yeah. As a neutral, as a person who loves hurling, there's an opportunity for any one of them teams to do this.
What about the Kilkenny-Tip rivalry? Obviously, you looked at it as a neutral. It's one of those great rivalries in sport, isn't it?
So what do I expect from the Kilkenny-Tip game? Absolute passion, absolute commitment in the tackle. They're both able to play the game before maybe Kilkenny's game would have been always long ball. Now they're varying a bit more, which I think Derek has done a good job on. But I'm looking forward to the intensity. And you know what I'd really like? Is supporters from Tip and Kilkenny, get out there and go to the game. Get out there and go to the game. Either your counties have a chance getting to the All-Ireland and winning it. But normally when Kilkenny and Tip play, and these two teams are actually very capable, Kilkenny can hurl under physical and can go at it. I love that. Like, and I think it's very important. The one thing I'd encourage the referee is to let it flow a bit. I enjoyed the Munster final because Tyler let it flow, said that he got criticism for it. All I'd say, if something is really bad, blow it. If it's really obvious, blow it. We could blow a freeze in hurling every 2 seconds, and sometimes you'd be critical. You can say X amount of freeze to one side. Did the other team get the exact same amount of freeze? That's the one thing in hurling that baffles people, right? What he did in that Munster final, he let it flow. And I absolutely enjoyed the game as a neutral. Do you have to blow the serious things and the dangerous things? 100%. But our Graham, is there much to fix in hurling, O'Shane? Definitely not. It's in a good place. There's small little tweaks we can make the formats. Maybe integration with referees. There's definitely ideas that we can be better. Like, we can take examples from the rugby and that, how they deal with it. And I think it has to be more open and more transparent.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean during the game, ref mics, talk to the player? What do you mean?
Like, normally, before rugby games, managers get to talk to referees. I think if there was communication channels open, I think that'd be a good idea. That's being honest for me. And I also would think that after the game, if you want to talk to them, you should be allowed to have a chat. And I think if there's more communication, the better. And you know, there might be a point saying, take a lot out of rugby, where management actually are not on the sideline. Maybe you're allowed to run around the sideline. I think it's something we should explore. We should look at everything. Like, as a manager, you don't really have to be there. If you can make the calls, or if you're allowed one lad to make a switch, then there's no confrontation, there's no nothing. But the big thing is to have communication and dialogue. I don't think it should be them and us. Like, you will hear referees saying, oh, he was given out, he was X, Y and Z. Then on the opposite side, you'd hear managers saying, you can't ask him a question, you can't talk to him, you can't get an explanation. And then if you go and you highlight something, yeah, Croke Park might listen to you, but do they actually do anything about what you're saying, or you give them examples? No. So I just think the whole process has to be looked at. And we've a great game. I actually think we've great referees, but I think there needs to be channels opened. I don't think it should be a dim and us. It shouldn't be that. And that's being honest, from a person who's had run-ins with them, I really feel that we can solve this problem big time and we can make it better. Like, I look at different sports where you have a referee has his same sideline guys and his same officials. They're a team that work hard for the year. I like that personally, where you're working with two other guys that you know you can trust and they're with you for the year and you're seeing the game. Hurling is very fast. It's very hard for referees to see everything up and down. But if you've the same guys with you, and a replacement guy as well, if you've that team for the year, they're just things in my head that I think were really worth exploring from that side of it. But we have a great game. Excited about the semi-finals, as I said to you, because I don't know who's going to win, which is great.
Would you like to see VAR in hurling?
I think there's decisions that might need to be looked at, right? I think if a referee was unsure about something, I think it'd be great to have someone he could go to. If he's not sure, that he could go to and look at. If you're not sure about something, like we had an instance when I was over Waterford last year against Clare, I can tell you none of the officials actually knew. They made a call, but they weren't sure. That's fact.
Oh, the 65 at the end. Yeah.
Whether it turned out to be the right decision or not, they didn't know. There was a 65 in the very first minute of the game that day. There was a square ball with Waterford against Tipperary. Like, If you're unsure, wouldn't it be nice just that you could have a look? And people say, I don't want to go down that road. I think the referee deserves that opportunity, that if he's not sure and he wants to get a second opinion, why not? That'd be my honest opinion, because there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. There's too much time spent out training and out doing stuff. And I think the officials, and people will say I'm critical, I know what a tough job it is. I think they deserve every opportunity to be the best they can be, and that's my honest opinion.
And look, you made some comments after the Galway Antrim game. It would stop managers getting frustrated. It would take, as you say, the pressure off the referees. Actually, everyone wins from this, doesn't it? Don't they?
The suggestion I've made to you, I think, is very, I think, very important. I think it's worth to think about. I think it would knock a lot of stuff. To me, at time, like, I know I've tried to ask a question a few times in a relaxed manner, and the way I've been talked to is not nice. Is that the same with all of them? Definitely not. There is referees that are very approachable. But it's like even you do interviews after a game, right? You're after spending weeks getting ready for a game. Game either goes good or bad. You're very uptight. Sometimes doing interviews after a game is so hard because you're that way. And it's the same maybe after a game with, say, X, Y, and Z to a referee, right? But if you're not down on the sideline, but if you have an opportunity the next day to have a talk, if the communication lines are open, and that's all I'm saying is, that's what it is. And giving them as much help as possible, I think that's progression in the game. You can't stay static and do what we're doing for the last 100 years. Everything moves on, and I think if we can help that, that would be great.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Before I let you go, because there's a lot of demands on your time here today, we've talked about Kilkenny and Tip. What about Cork and Dublin? That has the potential to be an absolute cracker.
It does, right? So right now, if you're looking at the whole thing, it's a Cork, maybe very slight favourites. That's if you're looking at it. Would I rule Dublin out? Definitely not. I said after Antrim played Dublin this year, I felt they were very well prepared. We pressed them very high to stop them using sharp ball as much. They found a way around it. We did something in the game previous where we created goal chances. They actually stopped it, so they did. They're good, they do their homework well. If they have the same bite and edge, they'll be tough to beat. Is the element of surprise gone? It's gone. Cork will be aware of that. But I think Dublin are there, fair play, they're there on merit. They deserve to be there. Have they a chance? They have a chance. They have a chance. Don't write them off. But Cork's slight favourites.
Is it hard for Dublin, or will it be hard for Dublin to get back up to that intensity level?
No, this is an opportunity for Dublin. You can look at it that way, but they'll be looking at it the way as, we're here, let's have a go. And you know what was great to see the last day, I'll be honest, is I suppose a lot of the Dubs are there for the football, the supporters, and they're brilliant football supporters. Like, they get behind the team. And when you hear them singing, even when the hurlers were playing, it was absolutely brilliant. And I hope they get that support, because it's great. It'd be great for hurling if they get that as well. And probably, like, having a county that could be competitive on board is very, very hard. Dublin are probably one of the only ones that can do that. I'd like to see that support there. That'll be a really good game of hurling, because they can both play short and long. They're both able to play hurling. It'll be interesting, but maybe Cork just about.
Could the weight be damaging to Cork? Also trying to get back up after such an emotional high.
Well, having a break in between, I think, might not be any harm this time. That Munster final would have taken a lot. It took a lot out of Limerick as well, I believe. So it did have that bit of extra time. But also seeing what Dublin can do. Now they're aware. Now they're forewarned. Limerick probably weren't forewarned. Cork are forewarned. So they know what's coming. So they have the time. They can get ready. Like, that was great preparation in the Munster final. It took its toll, but they have a month to recover. So I'm expecting two really good semi-finals. That's what I'm expecting.
That was the voice of Davy Fitzgerald there, and I'm sure Pat Ryan will have the Rebels fired and ready to go against Dublin this coming Saturday. That's all we have time for in the first half, but stay with us in the second as we have plenty more sporting action to come.
The Big Red Bench. The Big Red Bench.
Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey in the hot seat for the next half hour. Before I hand you over to Marty Guilfoyle, here's all you know of Lions head coach Andy Farrell speaking to Sky Sports following his side's 54-7 point win over Western Force in Perth.
You asked for more intent from your team. Were they hungry enough for you tonight?
In some respects. But again, you know, a newish team, plenty of learnings from last week, and the same again from this week. I would have thought mainly our discipline in the first half. When we gained our composure in the second half, we was able to be nice and calm, and our defence improved out of sight, and we was able to force a few errors and score a few tries off the back of it.
Yeah, you mentioned that those early penalties, but it did feel a lot more clinical in that second half. Is that more of what you want to see from your side?
Of course it is. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the force took it to us, though, certainly in the first 25 minutes. I thought they played a tough, high percentage game. You know, they kept the ball really well, and we kept them in good field positions through real discipline, and they were physical at the breakdown, etc. So it was a real good test for us in that first half, but glad how we composed ourselves at half time and kept our composure throughout the second half.
And let's hear from Ireland's Joe McCarthy now.
It was tough. It was definitely tough. There's a lot of kicking. I think that's probably a taste of what's to come in this tour. They like Australians like to play ball, play quick. So got plenty of that, and it was great fun. It's great.
Give us a sense of the message at halftime, because it definitely felt more clinical in that second half. We had some strong words from Andy Farrell there. What was the message for you heading out back onto the field?
Yeah, because we came out the blocks firing, and we kind of felt like we had them, and then we were probably, obviously, they came back hard, but probably our own bit of discipline let them back into it. So, yeah, plenty to review there, and we'll get a lot better for it.
Certainly felt more ruthless. Is that what you think you want this side to be about?
Yeah, 100%. We want to be a ruthless side. We want to build that over our performance to show that every week. So, yeah, plenty more to improve on there.
Been easy coming out with the jet lag. I know it's, God, what the time difference is a struggle. Do you feel better for having been out there and got a game under the belt?
Yeah, I think I blew the cobwebs off, so I should be flying for the rest of the tour now.
Lastly, time to hear from Captain Dan Sheehan.
Thank you, Dan. I mean, you're smiling, but you're cool, calm and collected as ever. Your Lions debut, captaincy, what do you make of it?
Yeah, it's a really special day for me, for a lot of the lads making their first appearance in this jersey. It's something special, something you watched all the way growing up wanting to be in this jersey. And yeah, it's kind of just sinking in now. Yeah, really special day, but you know, happy with that result, but there's plenty of things to work on as well.
Plenty of things. Then give us an idea of from the captain then what those things are.
Yeah, I think we started really well, you know, with that first try, but then our discipline let them back in, and we were probably really inaccurate with their restart, gave them a lot of access. So you know, we'll have to go, that's still sort of getting used to each other, new combinations and stuff, so we'll have to just go back and make sure we're better next week or on Wednesday even, and we'll go again.
I can see Nick White out the corner of my eye. He's been talking about bashing you guys up, plenty of bruises before you head on to the Wallabies, but next stop the Queensland Reds. How much are you looking forward to travelling down to Brisbane and getting on with the next warm-up?
Yeah, from here on in it's coming thick and fast, and you know, game every few days, which is brilliant, and every team we come up against will be hungrier than ever, so we just got to embrace it and love every second of it and enjoy the journey with each other and getting to know everyone on a deeper level. And you know, we've done a great job so far and we just need to keep building.
Yeah, audio thanks to Sky Sports there. The Lions turning things around after their loss to Argentina in the Aviva last week to Cork City Football Club now. And more than midway through the season, we finally got that sought after clean sheet, but we did get a draw as well. So it was a nil-all, fairly boring game in Turner's Cross last night. But look, if the clean sheet's come, we'll hopefully take it. And hopefully that's a sign of things to come, because the defence did need shoring up. And of course, that will be helped with Rory Feely and Fíor Kelleher coming back to play for Turner's Cross. But now we're going to hear from City boss, Ger Nash.
Ger, a point apiece, your reaction to that?
A tough game. I felt if on the balance of play we had a really big chance first half, and I felt if a team was going to win it in the second half, I thought it was going to be us. So I think we were absolutely well deserved for at least a point, and I'm delighted for the effort the players have shown across the last two games, and so I'm pleased with the point. We know we need to win games, but it's a start point. The clean sheet's huge, and I think that the fans who came here tonight saw a team that really passionately cared about playing for this football club.
Tell us about that chance in the first half? Because, like, a game with very few chances, what an opportunity that was to grab all three.
Yeah, it was, and Kit Nelson's a really good footballer. We're really pleased. He just agreed to extend his loan today. Shawnee did great. Worked off our press. We're really pleased with it. And then, obviously, it's a chance. But, look, that's football. That's what happens. Kit'll score plenty of goals. He's a really good player.
There's been plenty of, I suppose, doom and gloom around this place this season, but you touched on it there. Talk to you about the week, as it's been two really good performances against two really good sides, and you come away with 2 points.
Yeah, look, we've had 3 or 4 home games now. We've had Shells here, we've had Drogheda, we've had Pats, and I think in all games, I think it's fair to say we fear we could have more points from them. So, from where we were last Friday night, there's been huge improvements, and I'm pleased for the players, I'm pleased for the staff, because everyone's put a lot of work into it.
You feel the building blocks are falling into place? I know Sligo drew tonight as well, so the gap is still as it was.
Yeah, look, I don't come in and check my phone straight. We need to focus on us. This football club needs to focus on us and who we want to be and what we're going to do. We have to have a plan for us. At the moment, our plan is fighting. That's the first thing we have to do. But we have to focus on us. We have to do what we can do, control what we can do. I'm pleased with the clean sheet. I think that's huge and really important. So that's pleased me. I'm up for the fight. I'm up for the challenge. My staff are. Staff have come to the club. We want to be here. The players are fighting. I think you've seen that the last couple of performances. We're ready to go, we're ready to fight, and that's what we'll do.
We're going to hear from City stalwart Greg Bulger now.
Greg, you're the SSE Electricity player of the match. Congratulations. A point apiece, does that feel about right for what happened out there?
I think we're probably a bit disappointed, but there wasn't much in the game. We had a great chance just before half time. Probably had to suffer a bit without the ball at times, but we were okay with that. I think if Kit Nelson pushed that one away, probably you put it in the driving seat. But look, we're disappointed, but I think overall it's probably a fair result, yeah.
Talk us about that chance in the first half, because like you said, it was a game with very few chances, but what an opportunity that was to grab 3 points.
Yeah, look, we had a few good scenarios over the game where we nicked a high after a great team. But we knew if we couldn't nick a high, we'd create chances. But just quite disappointed we didn't take that one. But look, we showed great character. We went again in the second half and went right to the dead there. So look, that's us, and that'll be us for now, between now and the end of the season. So look, pleasing performance, everyone grafting, working away. But probably disappointed that we didn't get all 3 points, but again, it's probably a fair result.
You mentioned graft, working away, character. You must look back at these two games you've had there, two home games against, St. Pat's side at the start of the season. We expect the challenge for the title. Drogheda having a really good season, and you've taken 2 points in these two home games.
Yeah, look, it's something to build on, and since the new manager's come in, that's the buzzword, working hard, I think all our fans and the whole of Cork, that's all they want to see, and we're instilling that in everyone every day, the way we train. So we take the positives of the two draws, hopefully we can turn them into wins, and we keep going, we keep grafting, yeah.
Hopefully no, because a huge date with destiny, it feels like, against Sligo Rovers is coming down the tracks in Turner's Cross. This amongst fairly civil unrest, it's fair to say, amongst the fan base, having a few protests now in Turner's Cross at the moment as well. So we'll be interesting to see if those continue. Now, known for her All-Ireland winning LGFA exploits in the red jersey of Cork, Juliet Murphy is back making headlines in a different sport. And following her retirement from intercounty football in 2013, Murphy swapped the O'Neill's football for a solid iron 28-ounce road ball. Now the former All-Ireland winning captain has bridged an 18-year gap by recently becoming a two-time Intermediate Ladies Munster Bowling Champion. And as a result, Murphy is one victory away from repeating her All-Ireland Intermediate success of 2007, and the former Cork LGFA captain defeated Julianne Hayes to claim this year's Provincial Intermediate crown, and will represent her province against whoever emerges from Ulster in next month's All-Ireland final. And the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to Juliet about her recent road bowling exploits and how far the current Cork LGFA seniors have come under manager Joe Carroll.
Now on the Big Red Bench, it is a real pleasure to be joined by the 2025 Intermediate Ladies Munster Bowling Champion, a name you're going to know pretty synonymously with another sport, and that's ladies football, and it is Juliet Murphy. Juliet, you're very welcome to the Big Red Bench, and congratulations.
Thanks, sure.
On your bowling exploit.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Now,
delighted.
Yeah, a bit of context here. You are an 8-time All-Ireland winner with Cork. You captained Cork to 3 of those All-Irelands. You're an All-Star on 6 separate occasions. Player of the Year in 2011. 2-time Dunamore Club All-Ireland Player of the Year and star of one of my favourite TG Gahar Lake Regale episodes. you're known around the country and beyond for your LGFA exploits, but we are going to talk about your bowling exploits. So can you tell me, first of all, before we talk about your intermediate success, when did you start bowling competitively?
My dad would probably be better at answering that. I would say I definitely played under 14, under 12 probably, growing up. I mean, I suppose one of my, I can't say for certain whether it's my first memory or not, because it's been recorded, and you know when something is recorded and you get to watch it and then you believe that that's your first memory. But my dad played an All-Ireland final in 1983, and I was at that on my uncle's shoulders, and we've, you know, video of that at home. So I suppose bowling is part of my family, my grandfather Petty first and foremost, and then my dad and my uncles. It's just a sport they absolutely love and enjoy, and it's just something we've grown up with all our lives.
So that's where the love of bowling came from. But when you stopped playing football competitively, I know you still play a bit of basketball as well, but when did you decide, okay, I can take this up and maybe get a bit serious about the competitive side of it?
I was actually playing bowling all along, just not very successful. I suppose 18 years ago, I won this intermediate title. I was playing with Cork at the time, and I was fortunate enough to go on and win the All-Ireland. So I have been bowling all along. I stopped for a period of time while I was having my kids, and then my dad was giving me kind of a nudge again, maybe to go ahead. So I've kind of, I suppose, been dipping in and out of it all the time. It's, you know, kind of make a decision whether you're going to enter the championship or not. And I suppose I found myself in a situation where most often I'd play my few round-robin scores and I'd be, you know, out of it kind of quickly enough again. So it never took up a huge amount of time for me, and that I was able to just play it along with the other sports, you know.
Yeah, I love your humble nature, Juliet, and always have, like the way you talk down your successes. It's one of your many, many positive traits. But you're an intermediate Munster champion. As of recently, you defeated Julianne Hayes in the final. I mean, you've obviously honed the skills. You've had the skills. We know the background to it now and the family lineage. But winning an intermediate Munster is not an easy thing to do, I would imagine.
No, it isn't. And I can attest to that, because I suppose having won it 18 years ago and then not having come near it again, you know, since, like, I made, you know, some years I might make a semi-final, might make a final a couple of years ago, lost to Denise Murphy. You know, I've been there or thereabouts, but I could never just get to be the last one, you know, at the end. So it was a real, I suppose, thrill to win last Thursday. I suppose after all the years and after all the time, it was brilliant. It felt great.
Yeah, it's also one of your other traits is you're a winner, and you're a very determined and a competitor. I would imagine not having won it in so long was another driving force for you to really want to go and get this.
Yeah, it was. I suppose last year I kind of felt that, you know, I wasn't doing a huge amount of practice, and you know, when I've been knocked out of the championship, and I talk to my dad and say, you know, probably should be practicing more, and I should be doing this, and then kind of made a decision then this year, myself and my dad and my uncles, that I'd play a few more practice scores. And I was fortunate enough to have like people like Veronica Manny and Denise Murphy, who, you know, played a few practice scores, because it can be difficult to get scores for women as well, you know. So I did a bit more practice this year and just put a bit more effort in as well. And look, sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't, but luckily for me it did this year. So
I'm assuming Team Murphy in the background included your dad and a lot of these people, that there was a huge bit of support behind you as well. Is that correct?
Well, you know, there's usually just the four of us, the five of us going off. It's my dad, my Uncle Willie, my Uncle Tate, and then Ollie Sexton, and we'd kind of, like, the lads are travelling in one car, and then wherever we're playing, I meet them at the end of the road, and we leave one car at one side and we take back the other car. So it's, you know, usually just us. And but you know, the last two scores, there's been a few more family and friends there, which is great, and it does make a big difference.
You mentioned that it's difficult to get scores at this level. And maybe that's not true, or necessarily true, but I know from my part of the world where I live down in West Cork, how popular bowling and road bowling has become. It's always been popular, but it's become so popular with schoolboys and school girls. I assume, as you're an advocate of getting school children out into the fresh air and playing as many sports as possible, that this is a sport that you'd recommend young girls to try it out?
Yeah, I mean, I really do enjoy it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, sports that it's just you, it's one competitor and you're there yourself, it can be difficult. You know, there's a bit more pressure involved that, you know, when you're playing team sport, if you're having a particularly bad day, there's always somebody that will come up trumps and, you know, help you out. If you're having a bad day at road bowling or, you know, tennis, any of these sports, or golf, it can be a very, very lonely place. But I suppose the thing I would say about, you know, when you're not playing team sports, like the statistics have shown that a lot of people will go back to, you know, sports, just individual sports like this. And I think bowling is something that you can play. You know, there are people playing bowling into their 60s and into their 70s. And, you know, isn't that a great thing that you're still involved in something and still getting out onto the road and meeting people and socialising? So it's something that you can take with you for life. And, you know, and anytime I'm not always on the road, but I go out, and when I do go to a score, people are always so friendly and so nice. And there's just a really lovely community within the bowling community.
What's next, Juliet? Because when you win the intermediate, is there a potential to move you up to the senior grade now, or how does it work?
Because I won the intermediate, I will be stepping up into senior next year, and there's an All-Ireland now on the 12th of July. So there'll be an intermediate winner in the north, which hasn't been played yet, to my knowledge anyway, unless it has been in the last 2 days. And then the All-Ireland finals are on in Castletown, Kenna this year on the 12th and 13th of July.
So we will be talking again in the near future about your exploits. Another All-Ireland final, Juliet Fair, why not?
Sure, why not, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's a fantastic story, just of a sports person and somebody who's been so successful in one court, and how much you love sport, to see you doing so well. And it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that you're successful at it in 2025, just knowing you and how determined and how much you love sport. But I can't let you go without having a quick chat about the Cork Ladies Senior Footballers. Fantastic win up in Mayo this past weekend. New manager in Joe Carroll, new backroom team, lots of new players, into an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and more importantly, Juliet, promotion back to Division 1. It's already been a very, very, I suppose, productive year for Joe Carroll and the players. But what are your thoughts heading into, you know, and you know well from playing the Dubs down through the years, especially away from home and in the capital, how difficult the game this is going to be for the Cork senior players?
Yeah, it is going to be a difficult game. I mean, they'll certainly, you know, will be the underdogs going into it. But I think, I thought against Mayo, particularly in the second half, I thought they played lovely football, lovely direct football. You know, Aya Terry got on a lot of ball inside, and, you know, was brilliant. Had some brilliant finishes. I thought they looked a very fit team. On Saturday against Mayo, and I know the margin was tight in the end, but I thought there was a little bit more between the teams. I know Mayo's goal just came towards, I think there was maybe 6 minutes left when they got the goal, but I thought they were sharp, and I think, look, they will be up against it, Jura, but they've absolutely nothing to lose, and they're a young side, but they're gutsy players, and there's, you know, I suppose they have experience as well, and I think it's a great game to be going into, because, you know, Dublin will be expecting to win, and, you know, you never know what will happen on the day.
You certainly don't. That's a good summation of it. Listen, Juliet Murphy, as ever, thanks very, very much for giving us your time here on the Big Red Bench. Congratulations once again on becoming the Munster Intermediate Ladies Bowling Champion, and the very, very best of luck in the All-Ireland Final in Castletown, kind of in a few weeks' time, when I hope we get a chance to speak to you again as yet again another All-Ireland Champion.
Thank you, Ger. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what a lovely piece there from our very own Ger McCarthy and Juliet Murphy. Hopefully she takes home All-Ireland glory in a few weeks' time. Dan Casey signing off here on the Big Red Bench. Best luck to any of the Rebels heading up to Croke Park next Saturday to support the boys in red. Hopefully we get the job done against Dublin and that we're heading back in 2 weeks' time for an All-Ireland final against either Kilkenny or Tip. Come on, the Rebels. Only one way to play us out, though. Darragh Murphy, take us away.
Right.
Down by Parky Cueve, where the Rebels play their hurling, Liam, he got taken away from Christy Ring and Jimmy Barry, now to Kingston, Downey and Hoggy. The Rebels want him back home once again. Where once was home to Liam McCarthy. Haven't seen him since 2005, but the Rebels will find him alive. Cork will bring him back home to the league.